Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Well, the picture popped up on my Facebook page the other day. You know, when you look at your Facebook account, if you got one, you're looking on your cell phone there. You know, what's one of the first things that shows up there at the top? It's something that is listed there, your memories on Facebook. And what it'll do is it'll show you a picture there of something that happened a couple years ago or, you know, 3 or 5 years ago, whatever. But anyhow, it'll show up on your page. And a particular picture there, well, it reminded me of something that happened 2 years ago. Now, when that happened, when that picture showed up, it made me think about, again, what happened a couple years ago. I was sitting here in my office right before worship service. And so as I'm sitting there, I happen to look at it, and all of a sudden I get this text from my nephew. He's saying, water's coming up the driveway. Now, at the time, he lived in Houston. And as you'll recall, a couple years ago, Hurricane Harvey had come ashore there in Houston, and, well, it didn't leave. The center of circulation just sat right there over the city of Houston, and so rain was just coming down in ridiculous amounts. It wasn't just measured in inches, it was measured in feet. Now, as he said that, the water's coming up the driveway there, it had never, ever had gotten that far before. And so I started praying. In fact, that Sunday morning, I added that to the prayer. So we also prayed. Prayed that the rain would stop. Prayed that that hurricane would move on. And so in between services, I went back to my office there. Grabbed my phone, wanted to see if there's anything, any new news. Well, there was. He said, water's coming into the house. The whole city had been praying. Everybody across the country, right here, you and I, right here in the worship service. We had been praying. And for those who had been experiencing the storm, I'm sure it seemed like end times for them. My nephew and his family, surrounded by water. There was only one way into his neighborhood. And the night before, when they all gone to bed, well, wasn't a big problem, right? It was easy to get in and out, no problems at all. But the next morning, the water had come up so fast, it had cut them off. There's no way they could leave the house. And so now, there they were, water coming into the house. Now, if you were to go to the end of our chapter 17, the chapter right before our gospel reading for today, you would find that Jesus is talking about end times. And in particular, he's talking about how, you know, the end times are going to come and how he's also going to be rejected by men and that he was going to suffer. But yet, the end will still come. He put it this way, just as in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now his disciples were no doubt wondering, oh, when's this going to happen, Jesus? Are you going to give us a clue on all this kind of stuff? Well, Jesus said this. He goes, where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Meaning it's going to be obvious, wherever the dead body is, and you start seeing vultures there circling above there in the sky, so you know something's dead, right? It's going to be that obvious when the end times come. So that is the mindset that the disciples were having there, thinking about these end kind of times going to happen and how bad it was going to be. That's what they were thinking right before Jesus says the following. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. In other words, never give up, never give in. And so he tells them this parable. Now remember, parables are all about how the kingdom of God operates, and it's explained in ways that you and I can understand. And so Jesus speaks about this judge who does not fear God nor respect man. Now, for some of us today, might be thinking, it's like, well, that's okay. You know, we're going to have somebody who's unbiased, right? Well, not so in Jesus' day. If somebody didn't fear God and didn't respect man, they were considered a very wicked person. So that's the mindset of this judge. Very wicked person. And so what do we have here? We've got this widow who comes in. You know, give me justice against my adversary. And he's like, no, not going to do it. But she keeps coming again and again. You see, most people there back in that day were inclined to help out the widow. In fact, they were called to do that very thing. Why? Because they had no source of income. So people then were to watch out for the widow, to help them out, to make sure that they had enough food and all those kinds of things. But again, the judge refuses, and the widow is persistent, basically being a pest in the eyes of the judge. It's kind of like a little girl coming in to her dad. Like, hey, Daddy, can I have a cookie? No. Comes back in a couple minutes later. Hey, Daddy, can I have a cookie? And he's like, no, you just had lunch. You had peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You had chips. You had an apple. You had a banana. And you had a glass of milk. No. But I'm hungry. No. 5 minutes later, she comes in again. No. You know, and in the span of maybe 10 to 15 minutes, she does it 10 to 15 more times there. And so finally, he's like, fine, you can have a cookie. Yay! All right? Well, that's kind of the idea that's going on here with the judge. This woman keeps coming in here. The widow keeps coming in and pestering him until finally he's like, fine, just to get her off my back, you know, because she's just beating me down. It's getting silly here. And he's like, all right, I'll give her justice. That's fine. And so Jesus follows up with that and says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give them justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Well, Jesus is using this as an example here to help explain how the Heavenly Father deals with us, his children. Jesus is calling you and I to be pests before the Father. Be persistent. Why? Well, Jesus is teaching us something here. He's using those rhetorical questions there. Do you think the Father is going to be slow in answering? No, he's not. Because see, the point here is that Jesus wants us to know that God wants the best for us. So ask. Pray to him. But yet, what do? Jesus asks another question. And this one's not rhetorical. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now, I need to point out something here that, quite frankly, gets overlooked most times in translations, and in particular, it does even in our own. Right before the word faith, there should be a definite article in there. Definite article meaning the word the, all right? The faith. So it should belong in there. It should read, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the faith on earth? Now, when he's talking about the faith there, he's talking about the kind of faith that the widow had in being persistent. Is he going to find that kind of strong faith when he comes back? Well, how do we pray at times? Well, sometimes we just kind of throw up a prayer before the Lord and hope it sticks, right? You know, we do that. It's like, you know, how often do we pray and well, we don't get our answer right away, so we quit. You know, you ask somebody, well, have you prayed about it? It's like, yeah, I tried. Haven't got my answer yet, so why bother? Be surprised how often I've heard that. But yet, you know, when you think about it, sometimes we're just even arrogant about our prayers. Okay, and then the arrogance there, it's just really showing our lack of faith. Arrogance in the way that, well, we want that prayer to be answered precisely the way we asked it. And if we don't get it that way, then it's like, well, he wasn't listening because that's not what I asked for. You see, it gets right down to, at times, the troubles that we have is that, you know, our faith, it's our lack of faith that we don't think that God can take care of us or will take care of us. And that lack of faith comes from a lack of having a relationship with him. You see, we are the child, and he is the father. Okay? God wants us asking for that cookie again and again and again. The child asks the father, because he's the only one who can give permission to have the cookie, right? So it is for us to go to the Father. He's the only one who can answer our prayers. You see, when you look at it here, how many times do we have when we've seen in Scripture, and we saw this here a couple weeks ago, the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us, one in which we can call the Father Daddy, just like the little girl calling her dad Daddy. Same thing, right? That's the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. But sin is what gets in the way of that, and sin puts doubts in there. But that's why Jesus came, to take away the sin and restore the way so that we can have a relationship with the Father. That's how important the cross is for you and me. We need to remember that. We need to pray. We need to be persistent in prayer. And being persistent in prayer means having trust. Persistence in prayer means that we have faith in the one who can answer our prayer, who can do something about it. Because we need to pray, because there are events in our lives sometimes that are just far outside of our control, and there's nothing that we can do about it. So we go to the Lord in prayer. Well, my nephew was praying, and he had a knock on the door. So he opened the door, and there was a sheriff's deputy there. And he's like, "Say, your next-door neighbor there just told me that, you know, there was a family here that had some kids, and we've got a big truck out here. You got 5 minutes to get your stuff and your family to get out of the truck so we can get you out of here." Wow. So here he was. Well, the sheriff's deputy there picked up his two oldest kids, one on each arm, carried him out to the truck. Now, I've shared that before about that particular picture that went viral there across the nation there. Showed him carrying those kids walking out there, and my nephew's son was hilarious. If you actually look at that picture, you Google it, you'll see him dipping his foot down like this, because the deputy there was making a game of it. And he's like, "Well, I got to get you dry." He's like, "See if you can get wet." So he's sitting there trying to drag his toe in the water, because you see, the water was already coming in his house, right? There's a 4-foot elevation there from the front door down to the street. So by the time the deputy got there, he's already here in water. So he grabbed his dog. His wife carried their infant daughter, who was just a couple months old, and they went out to the truck and got on the back of the truck. And they were taken to safety. Now, sure, it was a time there in which, you know, people are praying. It's like that their stuff, you know, isn't going to get destroyed or whatever. And it's like, well, stuff can be replaced. Lives can't. So it was a prayer there that, well, maybe not have been answered exactly the way he kind of wanted it. And he ended up with over a foot of water in his house. But he was safe. You see, we need to be persistent in prayer. Even when it isn't answered exactly the way we want it to, in fact, it's probably answered in a way that's far better than what we ever expected. You see, that's how God works. Always working for the best for you and I. And that's what it means to pray according to His will. Because that's what He wants, as a good, good Father always wants for His children. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why we're forgiven. That's why we hold on to that faith, because it puts us in His family forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.